Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai. Nitai Gora Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Nitai Gora Hari Bol. Jai Om Shivam Sabadavaji Gaya Stodhya Dasimat A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Shivam Sabadavaji Gaya Stodhya Dasimat Bhakti Siddhanta Sasi Dako Prabhupada Ki Nitai Go Premanandi. Is there a verse for you to chant or no? No. Okay. We'll read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in glorification of the appearance day of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 5. The glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Text 1. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai
Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri
Chaitanya
Jai Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Vande Nantad Bhutaishvaryam. Sri Nityananda Mishranam. Yasyechaya tatsvarupam agyenapi narupyate vande nantad bhutaishvayam Sri Nityananda Mishranam Yasyechaya tatsvarupam agyenapi narupyate Mandanantad Bhutaishvayam Sri Nityananda Mishranam Yasyechaya Tatsvarupam Agyenapi Narupyate
Yes,
Vaishnavis. Bande, let me offer my obeisances. Ananta, unlimited, Adbhuta, and wonderful. Aishwaryam, whose opulence. Sri Nityananda, unto Lord Nityananda. Ishwaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya, whose. Ichchaya, by the will. Tatsurupam, his identity. Agena, by the ignorant. Api, even. Nirupyate, can be ascertained. Translation. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Sri Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. Om Agena Chimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. As you know, Sri Nityananda Prabhu can act in a very contradictory way according to mundane perception. That's why he's known as Nityananda Avadhuta, or Avadhuta Chandra, the moon of the Avadhutas. Even greatly learned persons, greatly pious persons, brahmanas, can be bewildered by Nityananda Prabhu. You see that in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of an event that took place at his brother's home. One great devotee of Nityananda, Minakatena Ramdas, came to a gathering. Everyone knows the glories of Minakatena Ramdas, that he is an intimate devotee of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He's always merged in ecstatic love, playful in his ecstasy, climbing on the backs of devotees when they would make obeisances. Just acting in a playful way. But his eyes were always raining tears of ecstasy. And his crying out, Nityananda, would bless all the directions. When he entered the assembly, everyone bows down. But the pujari did not show any respect. You could say that the pujari was thinking, well, I'm offering, serving the deity. But in the case of such a great devotee as Minakatena Ramdas, when everyone else bows down, that means everyone should bow down. But you see, Minakatena Ramdas knew the mentality behind all this situation. He knew that it's not just a question of he's serving the deity. He knew there is some lack of understanding or appreciation of Nityananda Prabhu. And since I am Nityananda Prabhu's representative, I'm being treated in this way. It's actually an insult to Nityananda Prabhu. So it was not that Minikatena Ramdas had some kind of false ego, but I'm not being respected. They didn't bow down to me when I came into the temple room. No, he's representing his master in pure love. There was some controversy about this, some discussion. And Minikatena Ramdas said, just see, here we have the second incident, just like my Lord Nityananda as Balaram encountered with Roma Harshan. So, this is not right. He broke his flute, because he always carried a flute, because he's in the mood of a cowherd boy. He broke his flute, went off. So again, you might say, well, he's very tempestuous, very stormy. Devotees should always be humble. But, as I said, Minikatena Ramdas understood. There is a lack here of understanding of my glorious master, Nityananda Prabhu. So what happened next? Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami knew his brother is involved in this. Not just the Pujari. He saw there was some kind of conspiracy. And he had a discussion, shall we call it, with his brother. Now, you know how tight, even to this day, Indian families can be. But just think about 500 years ago. To have an argument with your brother. We don't know. It could have been his older brother also. That's very non-traditional. But Kaviraja Goswami established the glories of Nityananda Prabhu. I was just thinking this morning, this could have been a difficult situation, just like Arjuna at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. How can I fight this battle when on the other side are my extended relatives, friends, former teachers? So you can just imagine Kaviraja Goswami's dilemma. It's my brother, but he's done wrong. I have to say something. He's offended Nityananda Prabhu. So Kaviraja Goswami explained, this attitude is totally deviant. You say you have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but then you demonstrate no faith in Nityananda Prabhu. Better you just disregard them both. rather than concoct, splitting the two. Oh, yes, Gauranga, yes. Nityananda. We don't know about him. Better you just disrespect both of them than try to split the two up. You know, as Lochanadas Thakur says in his song, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai, Sudhita Vishvasha. Just worship these two brothers. Paramakaruna Pahundwijana Nitai Gaurachandra. Sabha Avatar Sarshiromani Kevalanandakanda. These two brothers are extremely merciful, supremely merciful. Paramakaruna. Sabha Avatar, they're the essence of all avatars. So Kaviraja Goswami lectured his brother like that. They were actually, you can see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was kind of a heated discussion. And obviously his brother was not transformed in his opinion. And Kaviraja Goswami very briefly mentions that later my brother fell down because of this offense. So Kaviraja Goswami tried to intervene. He tried to correct his brother, save his brother. But was not to happen. So you can appreciate Kaviraja Goswami's his bhakti. I have to clear up this mistake, even if I have to correct and chastise my own brother. I will do this. Because of that intervention, And another reason why we can understand it was a very pivotal and dramatic thing for Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami to do. Because of that, Nityananda appeared to him in the dream at night in gratitude. Kaviraj Goswami got the darshan of Nityananda, surrounded by his cowherd boy associates who were buzzing around his feet like bumblebees. And with a wave of his hand, Nityananda sent him off to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan, there you will find your greatest fortune. So yes, Nityananda Prabhu can bewilder persons. Yet, here we see in this first verse of Adi Lila chapter 5, the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Here we see that by his will, even a fool can understand his identity. So we're begging that he please will us that we can understand deeply his identity. Even the associates of Mahaprabhu would sometimes get bewildered. Just like in the case of Shivananda Sain, remember? He organizes the party that yearly visits Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And so his party is about 200 or 300 persons. They walk from the Navadvip area to Puri. And Shivananda Sain, as you know, has the service of arranging their hospitality, where they'll stay at night, all the logistics, paying the tolls, everything. That's all Shivananda Sain. You all do very nicely here, taking care of your guests so wonderfully. That is the spirit of Shivananda Sain. So Shivananda Sain was so particular about this service. As you know, even a dog who accompanied them, he would take care of. So he got held up at a toll-paying place. And so the devotees went ahead to wait for him. And it took a while for Shivananda Sain to do the toll transaction. Meanwhile, the devotees are waiting. Evidently, Nityananda Prabhu seemed to have a problem with the wait. I'm so hungry, I could die. Where is Shivananda Sain? What is he doing? My hunger is just eating me up. Since I'm so hungry that I could die, I curse him that his three sons will die. What would you do in those circumstances? And what do you think Shivananda Sain's wife thought when she heard this? So she, obviously, I mean, what would any mother think when someone curses that her three sons, not just one, not two, but three sons, all will die? Obviously, the mother is, shall we say, extremely distraught. So when Shivananda Sain finally appeared after doing the toll transaction, he had to deal with his wife. If you are a married man, you can understand what the wife would be like having heard that her three sons are going to be cursed. So Shivananda Sain dealt with that in his extraordinary way because he's an extraordinary personality. His wife told him, "Oh no, Nityananda, he's cursed our three sons to die." I mean, she's devastated. What was Shivananda Sain's response? I don't advise any householders to imitate, but his response was, "Oh, Nityananda has cursed our three sons to die? Let them die." If that's what Nityananda Prabhu wants, let it happen. You foolish woman, what are you complaining about? Let us all die if Nityananda Prabhu wants. This is a very high standard of bhakti. We can hold it above our heads, and yes, let me make progress toward that kind of love and devotion. So, that was Sivananda Sen's response. And then he found Nityananda Prabhu to make amends. We're so sorry, this, that, the other. Before he could say anything, what did Nityananda Prabhu do? Kicked him. What is this? He kicks him. You know, that's ordinarily considered such great disrespect. First of all, it seems like violence. Secondly, touching the foot to someone in such a disrespectful way. Yeah. But what was Sivananda Sen's response? Oh, now my life is successful. Now all my dharma, my artha, my kama, forget about mukti, but my bhakti is all successful. I've been touched by the foot of Nityananda Prabhu. Even Brahma doesn't get this benediction. Brahma longs for the dust of the feet of the Supreme Personality Godhead. I got the full foot kicking me. It doesn't get any better than this. So Sivananda Sen just went away just glorifying the mercy he got. And Nityananda heard about it. Oh, this is your attitude? So Nityananda came and embraced him. So it went from the kick, the touch of the lotus foot, to the full embrace. So Sivananda Sen just drowning in ecstasy. But Sivananda Sen had a nephew there, Srikanta Sen, a young boy. And he was bewildered. He's thinking, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, my uncle, Sivananda Sen, is an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How dare Nityananda treat him in this way? So what did the young boy do? He left the party. Perhaps he could walk faster because he got to Puri first. And he came in to see Mahaprabhu. In other words, he's no ordinary person. He came to see Mahaprabhu, who was gathered there with his associates. And he kept on his outer attire as he had the darshan of Gauranga. And so Mahaprabhu's associates knew this is not proper etiquette. When entering into Mahaprabhu's presence is like entering into the pujari room, to the altar. You know, you don't have your outer clothes on, your outer tops on. And so one devotee corrected him. Excuse me, can you please sort yourself out? Can you please take off your outer garment and present yourself properly before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But Mahaprabhu intervened. No. I can see he's very distressed. Something is disturbing him. Don't bother him. So at that point, Srikanta Sen understood, oh, this Gauranga Mahaprabhu is omniscient. There's no need for me to give a full report of what Nityananda has done. He understands. Okay, I'll let it slide. I'll let it go. So this is how perplexing sometimes Nityananda Prabhu can be. Our Srila Prabhupada, sometimes persons would become perplexed. I remember I was in Japan some years ago, and some elderly Indian gentlemen came to see me. And they said, we were there 30 years ago when your Swami came to Japan. I said, oh, tell me about it. He said, well, it was a gathering put together by a Hindu organization, and we had several speakers, Hindu speakers, you know, Swami this Ananda and Swami that Ananda. And All Hinduism, you know. I said, yes, yes, I know. So they said, but you're Swami. This is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We can't understand him. We still remember this after 30 years. We can't figure it out. He spoke. Very good. Yeah. Very nice. Bhagavad Gita, according to his vision. And then we had other saintly sadhus speaking. And in the midst of one talk by a saintly Hindu Swami who was explaining the Shankara understanding of Bhagavad Gita. You know, it's all the same, you know. Whatever interpretation you have is all about Brahman. So while this Swami was explicating on Bhagavad Gita, your Swami, we saw he was getting restless. And then finally, you know what he did? He turned to his devotees and told them, jump on the stage and make a kirtan. And of course, the devotees happily did that. They didn't want to sit there and listen to a Mayavadi. You know? So Prabhupada, he was restless and he finally couldn't, obviously Prabhupada couldn't take it any longer. You know, hearing about Krishna has no form, he's formless, this, that, the other, all kinds of concoction. He turned to the devotees and said, jump on the stage. And the devotees jumped on the stage with, you know, the wompers and the drums. Boom, 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 boom. So everyone was bewildered. So for 30 years, these gentlemen, they couldn't forget that. This is Prabhupada in his Nityananda Prabhu manifestation. Another time, it happened in India. There was a Gita conference, and they invited Prabhupada. And so all kinds of concoctions were being presented at this Gita conference. And so Prabhupada spoke very heavily about Bhagavad Gita as it is. We don't concoct. We take Krishna's words as they are. We don't listen to nonsense interpretations. And so afterwards, some of the organizers, they were caste brahmanas. They came to see him. And they were very tactful and delicate in their presentation. Swamiji, we appreciate your interpretation. And it was very wonderful that you came to speak. But isn't it so that we should respect all interpretations? Because they're all pointing to the same in the same direction. So why not just allow others to present their idea? You presented your idea. That one presented his idea. All the ideas. In other words, it's all Brahman. And then they came to the final point, which they thought sealed the deal. They said, we know that you are Samadarshi. You see all living entities as equal and all opinions as equal. Because you're Samadarshi, right? And then they belabored on that point. They began to explain, since we know that you are Samadarshi, therefore why this apparent discrepancy? They were saying it in a very tactful way. I can't imitate you. We know that you are Samadarshi. There is no doubt about that. But this mysterious behavior by the Samadarshi, we're a little confused by it. But since you are Samadarshi, we know that. Therefore, perhaps they thought he would say, well, I didn't mean it, or there was just a misunderstanding. Since we know you are Samadarshi, that's a fact. And Prabhupada astonished him. I am not Samadarshi. They were, what to say about that? I am not Samadarshi. I say what Krishna says. They just totally caught off balance. They didn't know what to say. He destroyed our whole mathematical equation. This equals that equals Samadarshi, and therefore, I'm not Samadarshi. And they kept arguing, but Swami, we know you are Samadarshi. Therefore, Therefore. No, I am not Samadarshi. This went on for some time. And they were completely bewildered. And then Prabhupada turned the tables on them. But I am Samadarshi because I say everyone in the world can practice bhakti. Ooh, these are caste brahmanas he's talking. Then I am Samadarshi in this way. So, Nityananda Prabhu can also bewilder. You may remember his 3 months that he stayed at Panahati. It started off a particular part of his pastimes there with the fragrance of Damanaka flowers everywhere. All the devotees smelled this most exotic, wonderful fragrance. And no one knew where it came from. Finally, Nityananda Prabhu revealed the secret. He said, "You didn't see it, but I saw this fragrance is coming because we had the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While we were making kirtan, while we were discussing Krishna Katha, he was leaning against a tree right there, listening, wearing these garlands of Damanaka flowers. And that's why you smell the fragrance." So there at Panihati, Nityananda was so extraordinary. Whatever direction he looked, if you were in that direction, you would just fall on the ground trembling with ecstatic love. He was there with his associates, and they felt so empowered. The Nityananda Shakti also manifested through them. So much so that they would climb trees and walk out on the branches and then walk on the leaves. But they wouldn't fall. Some of them would run around roaring the holy name. Roaring the holy name and uprooting trees. Some of them would find a grove of betel nut trees and uproot 3 or 4 of those trees at a time, all while roaring the holy name. And Nityananda Prabhu, whatever he did, walking, sleeping, eating, he would always be chanting. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses this as an example to explain Jiva Goswami's point that in the age of Kali, all processes of devotion, all the 9 processes of bhakti are accompanied by chanting Hare Krishna, as demonstrated by Nityananda Prabhu. Whatever he did, he was always chanting, even while sleeping. So Nityananda Prabhu decided, "I want jewels." Immediately, jewels manifested from everywhere. The most opulent necklaces, the most opulent rings, the most opulent bracelets, the most opulent anklets. He's covered with jewels. And when he would go from village to village like that, some people would be bewildered. Those who thought they knew a bit of Bhagavat philosophy thought, "Well, he's obviously an Aishvarya Bhakta. He's not a Braj Bhakta." They got bewildered. They thought, "He obviously doesn't know anything about the sweetness of the Leelas of Braj. He's just pure opulence, like a Dwarkavasi or something. He doesn't understand the most confidential truths." Those who were poor, though, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, is those who were poor and destitute by their karma, they didn't have the pride, so therefore they didn't make offenses. They were attracted to Nityananda's opulences, which was why Nityananda was dressed like that with all the jewels, to attract those who have a tendency to admire such opulences. So the poor people are like, wow. But they weren't offensive. Not only that, but the poor people, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, once they appreciated the opulences, they also then made further progress and appreciated the sweetness. So, therefore, as we read today, his opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. So he's wandering in that area of Panihati, and even the children became empowered. The children would run around roaring the holy name and uprooting trees. You don't want that to happen here. You've taken so much care to plant the trees nicely. Flower gardens. But these children, you know, they're followers of Nityananda. They saw Nityananda as Balaram, and they saw themselves as subordinate to the leading cowherd boys like Sri Rama. So they were running around causing that kind of apparent havoc. There's Nityananda. He's carrying a silver rod. Instead of Haladar carrying the plow, Nityananda is carrying a silver rod with gold rings around the rod. So he would sometimes play with the children. They would do mischief. Nityananda would bind them up with rope. And sometimes he would beat them. And it was all affectionate. There was no child protection office to complain. Nityananda, in that pastime, is known as Balika Jivan. Balaka Jiva, the life and soul of the children. So, for 1 month, the children didn't eat. They were just absorbed in this Leela with Nityananda, who's in, the mood of Balaram. The adults, they hadn't eaten for 3 months. What would you be like if you didn't eat anything for 3 days? You couldn't move. But they lost all their bodily considerations. They even lost all external consciousness for 3 months. Those were the adults. The children didn't eat for 1 month. Those who are parents know anything about children. A child doesn't eat for a few moments, gets so cranky. 1 month, no eating. So then Nityananda decided to go to the house of Gadadhar. Gadadhar is always in Gopi Bhava. He sees himself as a gopi. So when Nityananda Prabhu and his associates arrived, Gadadhar had a pitcher of Ganga Jal on his head and saying, "Milk, milk, who wants milk?" He's in the mood. He's in the bhava of a gopi in Vrindavan. And then, in Nityananda's presence, devotee Madhavananda Ghosh starts singing the Dhanakeli Leela, the pastimes, intimate pastime of Vrindavan, of Krishna and the gopis. So amazing things happen whenever Nityananda is present. Wherever he's dancing in kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes his presence invisibly. Here at Govardhan Echo Village, I see such amazing things. And it reminds me of the Nityananda Shakti, the potency of Nityananda Prabhu. I remember I first came here. I can't remember the year. There's practically nothing here. And now such wonders are there. Finally, I'll mention Mahaprabhu in Puri, telling Nityananda, "Oh, Sripad, oh, holy man, I have a special task for you. You can do something that even I can't do. Don't come to Puri every year. I want you to go to Bengal," which at that time included Bangladesh, "and spread Krishna Bhakti everywhere." Nityananda's response was, "I am the body, you are the will. Whatever your will is, that's what I'll do." Mahaprabhu was showing the power of parampara, that the devotee can do even more than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, just as the devotee wants to glorify Krishna, Krishna wants to glorify the devotee. So it's not that Mahaprabhu is sending Nityananda away. He's displaying Nityananda's glories. You can do something I can't do. What does Mahaprabhu mean by that? Mahaprabhu's main converts were very aristocratic, very scholarly. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, persons like that. But Nityananda could rescue the lowest. And Mahaprabhu wanted to see that happen. He wanted to see everyone take to bhakti. So therefore he said, "You can do something I can't do." So he ordered Nityananda, "Don't come to see me in Puri." Of course, later sometimes Nityananda would come because he's Nityananda. He's contradictory. Doing things like, he had already done things like breaking Mahaprabhu's danda. What does he need a danda for? He's eternally, unlimitedly a Paramahansa. He doesn't need to carry a danda. Remember? You probably have been to that spot. And then when Mahaprabhu asked him, "Where's my danda?" What was the excuse Nityananda gave? "Well, while you were in ecstasy dancing, some or other, both of us fell on the danda and broke it." "Where are the pieces?" "I threw them in the river." Because Nityananda Prabhu is thing. He knows. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have need to do these formalities of the sannyasi carrying a danda. But Mahaprabhu was intent on displaying rigid following of sannyas dharma. But his followers didn't like that. But that was Mahaprabhu's intent. So Nityananda, he does things like this. He argues with Advaitacharya. After Advaitacharya serves such a huge feast, it takes so many verses in Majjalila that describe the feast Advaitacharya served. And what does Nityananda do in the middle of the feast? "What is this tiny amount of prasad? I've been fasting for 3 days. I hope to break my fast today, but look, what you've given is not even enough to fill half my belly." It was a huge mountain of prasad. So he has this kind of contradictory behavior. Yet, as Kaviraj Goswami says here, by his will, even a fool can understand his identity. All right, any questions? Yes. Nityananda is very expansionary. He wants to see the whole world drowning in bhakti. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You can do something even I can't do." So we want to become qualified to assist Nityananda in fulfilling the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our goal is to become that qualified to be a suitable servant in the hands of Nityananda Prabhu. If we can't achieve that in this life, then next life, but this is our goal. First, you have to set that goal and then go about achieving it. That's why we need the Association of Devotees to help us achieve that glorious goal. Anything else? You can remember, sometimes Advaita Acharya would describe how he and Nityananda would be sitting down and then suddenly they jump up. We are the servants of Lord Chaitanya. We are the servants of Lord Chaitanya. We are the servant of his servants. And they sit down quietly. 3 minutes later, they again jump up. We are the servants of Lord Chaitanya. You can try that. Not in the middle of your classes at the Bhaktivedanta Vidya Pit. Is that what you call it? Yeah. They might kick you out of class, send you back to Melbourne. All right. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.